Well, hallelujah. Well, are you excited today? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, I pray that you're excited because you have good reason to be excited because God is doing so many awesome and great things. And what a wonderful, wonderful testimony it is to have when God uses you to share the light of Christ into people's lives. And isn't that an interesting story? You know, these guys start a soccer team for the sake of spreading the gospel, intentional ministry and purposeful life ministry. And we all have occupations, we have skills, we have things that we do that we can use for the kingdom of God, that God can, he's given us these gifts. And how awesome is it when we can turn those gifts around and use them to help other people come to know the Lord? And that's really the way we ought to go to work every day, right? We ought to be thinking about that when we go to work and pray and say, God, give me an opportunity to share or to testify of what you are able to do in people's lives and what you've done in my life. And the word of God says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so why hold back? Just share that story. God has done something. Tell people. When there's a sale, you want to tell everybody about the deal you got, right? And so there's a sale going on salvation. It's buy one, get one free, right? Jesus already paid for it, so you're the free part. You get yours for free. All you have to do is trust in the Lord. All you have to do is come and acknowledge him. Bring your coupon. Hallelujah. Bring in your John C 3:16 testimony and say, God, I want Christ. I want you in my life. And God will make a difference in your life. And how exciting it is to be a part of what God is doing. And we're excited. And, you know, I hope you're praying about all the things going on and, you know, in the world around us today. We have our people out in Ukraine, the missions. We have missionaries out there. As we talked about last week, and so many different little things going on, you know, in the world, literally everywhere, there's something happening. And so we need to be a people of prayer. We need to be a people who are focused on the things of God, because that's the only thing that really matters in the grand scheme of life, right? And so so we're talking about soaring like an eagle rather than flapping your way through life. Let's soar. Let's allow God to sustain us and to keep us so that he can continue to do magnificent things in our life, so that we can continue to experience him for ourselves in a powerful way. God wants to do something that proves his existence in our life, his reality. And that is why it's exciting to be a Christian, to be a child of God, because we see God doing so many really incredible things, and oftentimes we forget. And so we don't want to forget. We want to remember what God has done. And so I want to begin here today by asking you the question, did you know that it was God's desire that we be lifted up? That we be lifted up? God knows how evil the world is and how dark life can get. And his desire is to lift us up, to raise us up. There's always opposition. There's always challenges. You know, even Paul said, when I try to do good, evil is always present. And it seems like, you know, there's always some form of opposition, some challenge that is working against us in one way or another. Sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's spiritual, sometimes it's psychological. There's all different ways that the enemy comes against us. And we have to learn how to resist the devil, the Bible says, to resist the strategies of the enemy, to overcome them. And there are literal strategies that are being worked out against you and I on a personal level. Satan knows what our weaknesses are. He knows what our difficulties and our challenges are. And he knows how to hinder us in our walk with God. And so he goes after our weak points. But God has not left us alone. The good thing is, it's like the song we sang earlier, the battle belongs to the Lord. It is God who fights for us. It is God who makes a way for us. And our job is to trust in the Lord, to trust, place our faith in him. And our lead verse today is Hebrews 11:3, which says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And so this understanding is helping us to see the importance of having faith in God. It is the word of God that brought the world into existence. And because God spoke and his word came to life, that is what we are trusting in, that God's word will still do the same thing in our lives. As we believe and place our faith in the word of God, the things that God has promised us in his word and the things that he said he would do in his word will come to pass in our lives when we obey his word, when we do the things that he's called us to do. And so we're going to be talking about that today, and I would like to use as a theme, positioned to soar. Positioned to soar. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word, and we just ask, oh God, that you would rise up in the midst of our lives. Help us, oh God, to be able to soar in our lives. Our desire is not to be overwhelmed with flapping our way through life, trying to deal with all of the issues and the problems and all of the negativity, all of the things that are happening around us that tend to bring us down. But God, that you would help us to stay focused and to see what it is that you are revealing to us so that we can have a life filled with the fruitfulness of the Spirit of God. Lord, we thank you for opening our ears here today and our hearts that we might receive your word and that we might live lives empowered by the Spirit of God, enabling us to soar in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God has positioned us to soar so that we can go through life like the eagle or the hawk or some of the other soaring birds. And oftentimes, I don't know about you, but I like watching birds, you know, fly around. I like sitting in my yard and kind of just watching, all the wildlife that seems to take place in my yard. It's like, sometimes I feel it's like Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom sometimes. Is that even still a thing? I don't even know. But, just seeing all the activities that take place, and I have a hawk's nest in my yard, and one of the things, one day I saw, and I think I may have shared this a couple of weeks ago, but he flew out of his nest and grabbed another little bird out of the air and took it back to its nest. I was like, whoa. I mean, the bird literally flew out of the trees, and he was flapping a little bird, and this thing just was like, grabbed him and brought him back to the nest. I don't know if he was looking for a friend to play with the other little chicks in the nest, but for some reason, I'm thinking that little bird became a meal is what I'm thinking. Nonetheless, you know, the eagle is really a soaring bird. And he swoops in, just like the hawk swoops in. They don't do a lot of flapping. They soar. They use the wind in order to sustain themselves in flight. And this is a good illustration for us as the people of God that we are not necessarily required to work our way through life, but it is God who sustains us. He makes a way for us. He provides for us. He lifts us up. He enables us to soar through life. You know, it reminds me of when you're in a plane. You know, when you're in a plane, the pilot's job is not to make the wings flap, right? He's not trying to flap the wings, or his job isn't to try to get the engines to turn or to work. His job is to just pilot the plane. Because the plane was designed to fly, right? The plane was designed to fly. And as long as the pilot knows how to how to use the plane appropriately. He understands how to work all of the controls, and he goes through the process of making sure the plane is safe, right? Because they don't just get on the plane and go. The plane has to be inspected, and it's the pilot's responsibility to make sure that everything is in rightful working order and everything is the way it ought to be. And so his job is to have all those things in order so that his passengers can get where they are supposed to be. And I don't know about you, but I would like to know that my pilot is well-trained, right? I don't want to hear like people who drive cars, right? You have these young kids, they jump in cars and they go driving, you know, and, you know, maybe I learned by watching my parents drive. You know, that is a scary thought, right? You think about it. I've seen how parents drive. I don't know that you want kids driving that learned by watching their parents drive. I don't want a pilot that says, yeah, I learned how to fly this plane by watching people fly planes, right? No, I don't want that. I need a guy who is well-trained. I want to make sure that he knows everything he's supposed to know, and he's got his license in order, he's got the right amount of experience and all of these things. And this is a picture of what Jesus did with the 12 disciples so that you and I can be comforted in knowing that we have been designed to get where we have been called to go, that God has made us the people that he has needed us to be so that we could be effective at representing the kingdom of God and accomplishing the will of God in our lives. And so God has placed people in our lives who can help us to learn the ways of God, people who are training us. We go to Bible studies. We go to prayer meetings. We have people in our lives who can coach us and who we can interact with and speak to so that we are able to soar through life. The last thing we ought to be doing as Christians is trying to just do it our way, just trying to kind of work our way through. But salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast, is what the word of God says. It is a work of God. And it is through Christ that we are saved, by faith, the word of God says. And that means we're trusting God so that we can be moved by the Spirit of God through life in the way that God has intended us to go through life. Nothing is by accident in our life. God is bringing us through so that we can learn and grow and mature because he knows who we are and what manner of people that we are. And he knows our personalities, he knows our thoughts and how we are, and he's working us through life based on even the bad choices that we make. And God is using all of these things to navigate us and to get us into the place where we need to be so that we can ultimately be the people God has called us to be. And that's why all things end up working together for our good when you love God and are called according to his purposes. And so the first point here today is that God teaches us the principles of flight. He raises us up. It is his desire for us to be lifted. There's basically two ways you can go through life. You can go through life looking down, or you can go through life looking up. And depending on where you look, that's where you're going to end up going. And I shared this story once before about I was taking snowboarding lessons, and one of my problems was I kept falling down. Have you ever gone snowboarding? Right? You ever? No? You know, well, the problem with snowboarding is your feet are locked onto this skateboard-like thing, right? We all know what a snowboard is. So you can't really move. You're locked in. So you're restricted, and the way you would think you would move is not the way you need to move. And so when you go to react because you're trying to stay up, it's really hard to stay up because your actions and reactions are working against you. And so you end up falling down. And so I kept falling down. I literally just fell my way down the hill. And I was like, good grief, man, I don't understand why I can't get this. And finally, the instructor, he said to me, do you know what your problem is? And I said, well, if I knew what my problem was, I would have fixed it way up higher in the hill. right? So I had no idea what the problem was. And he says, your problem is you're looking at your feet. And I was like, well, that's the thing I'm trying to make sure goes the right way. He says, well, the problem with that is if you look at your feet, you're going to go where you look. And so he said, the key to skiing or snowboarding or any of this stuff is you've got to look where you're going. I said, oh, yeah, they tell you that when you're driving your car, right? Don't look down at the front of your hood, but look out ahead so you can see oncoming cars, right? There's a whole strategy to how you drive. The whole idea is you're looking out. You're looking ahead. So I said, okay, so let me try this. So I start looking down at the bottom of the hill, which was scary, I have to admit. However, the temptation was always there to look down, and it was hard to resist looking down, so I had to keep trying to look up. But the more I was able to resist looking down and look out, the further I got down the hill on my feet. And so it took me a few tries, but ultimately I was able to go down the hill without falling down because I was able to stop looking down at my feet. And it's just like when you play the piano or any other instrument, if you got to look at your hands, then you're going to have a hard time mastering the instrument because you keep looking at your hands. If you keep looking at the music, you're never going to really memorize the music because you're depending on the words. So when the singer is singing, if they're constantly looking at the words, they're not going to memorize the song because they've trained themselves to be dependent on the paper or the sheet of music. But once you can get the word out of the book and into your heart, it changes everything. It changes your perspective on life. It changes the way you go through life. And that's what God is trying to do for us. He's trying to teach us the word of God so that it becomes a part of us, so that it's not just something we read in a book, but it's something that enables us to soar like an eagle. This is what God is teaching us, these principles of his word. And that is what being in church is all about. That's what being a part of the family of God is all about, learning how to apply these principles so that we can soar like an eagle. In Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, it begins by saying here, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith is assurance. That means you have a guarantee. You're assured. You're comfortable in it. Right now, you have faith that that chair is going to keep holding you up. And you're sitting there nice and comfortable, more or less, I would say, and you're trusting that it's not going to fall. I mean, I know that you have faith in it because until I just said something, you weren't thinking about the chair. And that is what faith is. And when you have faith in God, you're trusting that what God says is true in your life. It's going to come to pass in your life. You're believing it for yourself. It's a part of you. You don't think about, can this chair hold me up? You just sit down and you hope for the best. Hallelujah. You just trust that it's going to hold you up. And, you know, and it doesn't matter what the chair is. I've seen big people squeeze into tiny little chairs. They got a lot of faith, right? And so they sit down, you know, and it happens all the time. And we know that we are able to depend on things. We have faith in things. We trust. You trust your car is going to start when you go outside and put the key in. Isn't that right? Nobody goes out there and says, well, I don't think my car is going to start. Let me just call the tow truck right now. Right? No, you go out and you try it first because you believe it's going to start. It's not until you have been disappointed that you realize after multiple tries and all kinds of, well, what could it be? I'm trying to figure, and you're trying to work it out based on what your knowledge is. You try to work it out so that you can get it to start because you believe it can start. It will start. It used to start. So, you know, that's where you have faith that this thing should be doing what it's supposed to do. Well, the word of God works the same way. When we know the word of God and we have trusted in him, it gives us certain assurances. We're hoping for it. There's a conviction. I'm pretty well convinced that my car will start. That's a conviction. You go out and you turn the key. And God says that we have to have faith and assurance in God That means what God says, I'm just going to go out and do it. I'm just going to apply this in my life because I believe it's going to happen. And so he says, for by it, the men of old gained approval. This is Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, right? And Moses and all these guys who are the pillars of the of faith and of the church. All of these who have demonstrated the faithfulness of God. We look at other people's lives. We have family members, right? We have people in our lives that have testified, have shared stories, and have talked about things that God has done in their life. And we can trust that if God did it for them, why wouldn't he do it for me? Why wouldn't he do it for you? He certainly will. All you have to do is trust him. Just go out and do it. Allow the word of God to come alive in your life. This is why we need to be abiding in the word of God. This is why we meditate on it day and night, so that it can become a part of us, so that we can memorize the word of God. And not that we're like on a quest to memorize the word of God. It just becomes a part of you. You know, you just begin to remember it. I remember in the old days, you used to remember people's phone numbers, right? Remember? You used to remember people's phone numbers. Now you don't know anybody's number, right? Why? Because you've trained yourself to depend on the phone. The phone itself. It tells you who's calling while they're calling in. Before, you used to say, I don't even know. Should I answer the phone right now? I'm kind of busy. I'm not going to answer. I'm busy. Now you see who it is, and you're like, oh, I'm definitely not answering, right? So now you know you're not going to pick up the phone. So, you know, we all have faith in things. We have faith in something, but the question is, what is it, you know? And when we apply the same principles that we apply in other aspects of our lives, when we apply those levels of faith to the word of God, we will get even greater results because we're tapping into the kingdom of God itself. And that's why he says here, by faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And so when the world says that it was a big bang, and the big bang happened with nothing, you're saying, my goodness, that's a contradiction. I've never heard a bang of nothing. Has anybody ever heard a bang of nothing, right? If you hear a bang, that means something hit something else and it exploded, right? Or it broke or collided and it caused a sound. And in the word of God, the Bible says that in the beginning, God spoke, right? He spoke and things came into existence. They came to be. Now, I know that it is possible. I'll give them some slack that maybe there was a sound that sounded like a bang, because when people in the Old Testament heard the voice of God, the sound of God to them, and even in the New Testament, the book of Acts, when God spoke, and in the Gospels too, now that I think about it, you know, God sounded like thunder, right? To them, they thought they heard thunder, and thunder can sound like a bang. So it could. So, you know, we're stretching there, but, you know, hey, you know, we want to give people the benefit of the doubt, right? You know, well, we'll give them a little bit, you know, that's about as far as it goes. But essentially, the sound that is made is of things happening, things coming into be. And when you and I have faith in God and in his word, we don't necessarily see the end result, but we believe that God is true. His word is true and that it will come about. We have faith in God. It's not visible yet, but we're believing that it will come to pass. It will happen. I don't see my car starting right now, but I'm believing that when I put my key in, it will start. I can picture my car starting. I see myself right now just driving right on down the road. Right? Can you see it? Can you see me driving? Can you see you driving? Right? I'm going to Stewart's. I'm going to get me a strawberry shake. Hallelujah. Because Nobody else makes them anymore, right? And so it's a vision. You gotta you see it, and as you fidget, you know, you get in your car. I'm on my way to work. You see yourself going to work. You're thinking, yeah, I'm just going to work. You're already thinking about other stuff. You've already passed the idea of putting the key in the car and driving. You're just on your way already. And you've already got everything in order. You're just like on autopilot. And that's what we need to have with our relationship with God. We need to be trusting in God. We need to know what the Word of God says so that we can apply the right principles in our life and see things come into play that we otherwise would not see. And so God has called us to be a people of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, the Word of God says. So we have to be able to trust Him in knowing what He's doing. But God doesn't say, well, just trust me blindly. No, God gives us something and someone to have faith in. And this is where the eagle, he has faith that he can soar high because he uses the wind. The wind is the tool that God gives the eagle to be able to soar. And just like the eagle has the skills to navigate the wind, God gives us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the wind in our life. And so as we are operating in the Spirit of God, we are able to navigate the challenges of life. Now, we know that when the wind blows, it can either blow with you or blow against you. Isn't that right? Have you ever flown a kite? Has anybody flown a kite? Do people still do that anymore? I don't even know. As far as I know, kids don't even go outside anymore, right? So, you know, I don't even know about all this outdoor stuff, you know. But, the kite, when you're flying a kite, man, when the wind is right, it just soars, right? Oh, man, it's nice. It's got a nice tension on the cord. You're able to let it out, and it just goes. And I remember my grandfather and I, we used to make kites out of newspaper and sticks from the trees in the backyard and string. And man, what an awesome time we would have together doing that and flying kites and just allowing the wind. And I remember I learned like how to build the kite in such a way to maximize its ability to fly and stay stable. But every once in a while, you would get these crosswinds that would blow across and cause the kite to kind of like just go wild. And sometimes it would go spinning around and around and around. My mother's here. Do you remember we used to go to the park, Ma, and fly kites, right? My mother used to take me, right? And so we had these kites, and they're flying around. And, you know, sometimes they would just go bang, right? And so the way to get around that would be to have the right kind of tail on the back and to have a broader or a more of a curve to the kite itself so that the way it was shaped would hold the wind. Anyway, I'm getting into this whole thing. But the wind was the key to it being able to soar and the ability to navigate the wind. And Jesus said, in this life, you will have tribulations. You're going to have winds that are blowing for you and with you in your favor, and you're going to have winds that go against you. And Satan is always there trying to cause a crosswind. And he's always trying to get you to look down instead of looking up, because he knows as long as you look down, you will have no hope. You will have no faith. You will be looking at trying to solve the problem yourself, trying to deal with things your own way, the best you can make it out or figure it out. And you're going to be looking down rather than looking to God, who is the source of your help. The Word of God says we look to God. He is the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We look unto the hills, right, from whence cometh our help. The Lord, who is the maker of heavens and earth. It is the wind of the Spirit of God that keeps us up. He keeps us lifted up and looking up. In Ezekiel 1:19, he says, whenever the living beings move, talking about these angelic creatures here in Ezekiel 1, it says the wheels moved with them. And whenever the living beings rose from the earth, the wheels rose also. And wherever the spirit was about to go, they would go in that direction. And the wheels rose close beside them, for the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. And I want to point out here that the spirit of God is on its way somewhere. God is always about something. And when you're a person who is operating in the spirit of God, according to the word of God, you're going to be about something. You're not going to be somebody who is just kind of trivially going through life. You have a purpose. You are about something. And you're about representing the kingdom of God. You know who you are as you go. The angelic beings don't forget they're angelic beings. They know who they are, and that's why they go where the spirit would go. The worst thing you and I could ever do is go somewhere God is not going. You do not want to live your life following in a way that God is not leading you to go. You're going your own way. You're doing things the way you feel or the way you think. And that's dangerous, because the only reason you feel the way you do is because you're thinking a certain way. And as you think, so a man is, the word of God says. So you can't think a certain way and then say, oh, my feelings are hurt. Well, your feelings are hurt because your thinking is hurt. And if your thinking isn't correct, if your thinking is out of alignment, then you're going to have a certain feeling or experience in life. So to make your life better, you've got to change the way you think. And God understands that, right? That's Romans 12 saying, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Because if you don't think differently, you are going to have a bad life experience. You are going to constantly be looking down, which means you're going to go where you look. But when you look to God, when you realize how much God is your source of life, health, and strength, the more you will focus on the Lord. You will not take anything for granted. You will be able to see what God is actually doing in your life. How often does God bless us and make a way for us, and we don't even acknowledge him? We don't even recognize it. We go through life thinking that it was some other person. Well, the only reason that other person did what they did is because God touched their heart and caused them to show favor to you. I used to work in a company. We used to it was a hiring firm, and we would hire people for different jobs for different companies. They were one of those kind of like a headhunting firm, and we would go through stacks of job applications and different things. Do you know what the chances of your name being pulled out of a stack to even get an interview for a job, what the statistical probability would be? It's high. It's very high. So when you get called for a job, that is the favor of God. God is giving you an opportunity that you otherwise would not have. We talked a couple of weeks ago why people say, why do all these bad things happen in the world? Because the world is bad. The world is bad. The world is filled with darkness. The world is evil. The word of God says the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it, right? We talked about this. And so what Christ does is he comes to shine the light. So it's not why is there so much evil? No, the world is evil. God is trying to show you the way out. God is showing you where the door is. That's what Jesus said. I am the door. So God is saying, look, I'm creating a doorway so you can get out. I'm trying to make a way for you so that you can have a different life experience. You're living in a dark world. I'm shining the light. You just don't want to hear my voice. You don't want to believe the words that I am giving you to believe. You want to look at everybody else. You want Buddha. You want all kinds of yoga and all kinds of, you know, other stuff. You're believing in humanity and itself and all the things that are rooted in darkness. That's what you want to believe in. God's saying, no, I am showing you the light of men. And Jesus came into the world to shine light in the darkness. This is what the gospel is. This is what Christ is all about. And so it's not where is God, it's what are you doing? Why is it that you don't want to go out the door? Why don't you want to accept the truth of God and the word of God when God has given himself for us? He loves us so much that he sacrificed himself so that you and I might live. And the Spirit of God has now been given to us so that we can navigate, so that we can learn to look up. No matter how, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, no matter how dark the clouds are overhead and how matter how the storm and the rains come down, when you get above the clouds, it's a sunny day. You ever been in a plane on a rainy day, right? When you get above the clouds, the sun is out. You're like, well, goodness. And this is how life really is. Once you get up above the situations and the circumstances, if you can look up, you will see that God will make a way for you. You will experience the peace of God. You will experience the love of God. God will surround you with people who are of himself so that you can be comforted. That's what the Word of God says. The Holy Spirit will comfort you from within, but then God will send people who will be able to demonstrate the love of God in your life, because you can't do it alone. We can't. There's too much working against us. There's so much darkness, so much evil, so many challenges and difficulties that life brings. We need one another. And that is what the Spirit of God does in our life. In John 16, 13, he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. This is God who speaks. God speaks. That's what he does. He speaks and things happen. Things are created. Things come alive. And when we go to the Word of God and we believe the Word of God, things begin to happen in our lives. And if we want to experience God, we have to learn how to abide in the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit begins to speak. The Word of God is Spirit-breathed, right? The Word of God is Spirit-breathed. And so if the Word of God is Spirit-breathed, every time you read the Word of God, the Spirit of God that is of the Word begins to come into your mind and into your heart and into your life. That's why it's important to meditate on the Word of God, because Spirit feeds on Spirit. Spirit begets Spirit. So the Word of God is something that is from or of the natural realm. It is the very words that God would speak that cause this all to happen. And now when we abide in that Word, just picture yourself bathing in the Word, just splashing around in the Word of God. You don't have to understand how soap works to know you need to use it. Isn't that right? Right? You don't need to understand how it makes you squeaky clean. You just need to know that you need the soap to do its job. And whatever it takes, do it. And we did a study on soap, right? That was a couple of years ago, right? And so we understand how soap works. And we all understand, and I'm sure many of us here appreciate the usage of soap when we come together. And so we understand these things, but the Word of God is the same way. When we apply the Word of God, it washes you. It renews your mind. It helps you to think not like people who think, who can only see by looking down, but you're able to think from the eagle's perspective, from someone who soars high. Now, we have someone as a part of our congregation. They watch online a lot, and especially lately, and they're an artist. And so her name is Betsy, and she did create this painting, and I have it here because it was such an awesome thing that I thought you would want to see it. And she said she would let us see this. Now, this is the painting that she made. Can you see it? And isn't that beautiful? Isn't that awesome? And when we started talking about soaring like an eagle, she was inspired to actually get this thing done. She was thinking about doing it and was working on it a little bit. And then when we started talking about it, she believed that was God wanted her to do this. So she does this painting, so that we could have a visual aid as we close out this series. But it's so awesome to see that the eagle is able to soar. And this eagle is online. Are you familiar with this bird? It's the bird's name is Jackie. And you can go online. You could probably Bing it or something, and you can find Jackie the eagle. And they actually have cameras on her nest so that you can see, you can watch the life of an eagle, and they do a whole thing. But the idea is that the eagle, he doesn't spend his time flying around low-level areas. He gets high up in the air. Have you ever seen the hawks in our area? And we have eagles, too, in our area. There's a couple eagles near my house as well. And, you know, they're soaring in the air. You see them, they're not doing this, you know, and many people go through life doing this. And, you know, God is like, dude, you're made to soar. Stop doing this. Stretch out your wings. Trust God. Have faith in God. Learn the word of God. Have it so much a part of your heart and your mind that it's just what you do. It's just who you are. You soar in God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's why in the upper room, they had to wait on God. They waited for the wind of the Spirit. They waited for the move of the Spirit of God so that God could lead them, could direct them. They had to endure a lot of heavy, challenging, difficult things. And Nero was putting people to death. And so as a result, they needed to have faith in God. And so this is what the Spirit of God enabled them to do. And so the Holy Spirit will speak, and he will give you revelation. He will give you understanding. He will tell you what is to come. The whole idea behind prayer is that you would know what to do next, right? Prayer is not just like going on Amazon, and you place your order, and I need this in 2 days, right? I need this quick, you know? If you look on there and you say, this is not Prime, I'm sorry, I can't. No, I'm not ordering from them. Forget it. I need to find somebody on Prime. I got to get this in 2 days. And a lot of times we treat God like he's a Prime account, right? We want to come to God, and we got these problems we need God to solve, things that need to be done, need to be fixed. And you got 2 days, Lord. You know, you got 24 hours. Before I get up, I need to make sure that package was shipped, right? I'm looking for a text. I'm looking for an email. I'm looking for some confirmation that my order has been processed and has been sent. And God is not like that. That is not how God works. And we need to learn how to apply the word of God, because the word of God says we ask, but we don't receive because we pray amiss. That means we pray with the wrong mindset. We're thinking the wrong thing. We're not abiding in the word of God. Our thinking is not in line with the scripture or with the word of God. And as a result, we find ourselves not getting the answer that we're looking for because we miss God. The third point is that God wants us to have greater heights. He wants us to just to get above the situation. Stop thinking like somebody who's an earthly being trying to survive the planet. No, God says, rise above these things. Begin to have a different perspective. When you're raised above situations, when you're high above things, it changes your perspective. The higher you go, the smaller things get, right? And so you're able to manage things a lot better when your perspective changes, when you're able to see things from God's perspective, when the word of God begins to come to light in your heart and in your mind, when you have these revelations of God. In Ephesians 2:5, Paul says, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. So when we came to Christ, we were lifted up. We were raised up with him. Verse 6 says here, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So now we have to learn the Christ-like perspective. What is that? The Christ-like perspective is the word of God. Isn't Jesus the word made flesh? Right? Jesus is the word made flesh. That's John chapter 1, right? So when Jesus is the word made flesh, if we're one with Christ, then that means we are, and the word is a part of us. How do you come to Christ? By believing what the Word of God says, right? When you believe John chapter 3 and it becomes a part of your life and your way of thinking, when you receive Christ in your heart or you absorb it, when the Word of God talks about having the Word in your heart, right? David said, "The Word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee." It's the idea of making it a part of you. It's so much a part of you that the Word of God is, you're actually lined up with the Word of God without even thinking about it. It's not a process of intellectual exercise that takes place in your mind. It's so much a part of your way of life that you just operate the way the Word of God says we ought to operate. And that's what happens when you're meditating on the Word of God day and night, when it becomes a part of who you are. You're able to do things. When you're a professional and you have a skill set and you do things, you're able to do whatever it is your job calls you to do without thinking about it. You don't have to keep going to the rule book or to the manual or to figure out, follow the directions. How many people put desks and chairs together that they have delivered from Amazon without reading the directions, right? And then you find out you put something on backwards and you got to take the whole thing apart because of one thing you messed up, right? That's what happens. But we're comfortable going into things that we feel comfortable with because we feel, oh, I know, I can figure this out. And if you go through life that way, you're going to be messed up because you're going to find out the one thing you needed, you don't have. And that could be detrimental to your life, especially if it's Jesus, right? So now you're in trouble. And so we need to know the Word of God so that when we pray, we get results. So that when we're interacting with people and we're doing things, we're being navigated by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We're able to hear the voice of God. We're able to recognize the voice of the Spirit of God because we're so used to hearing the Word of God, you know, that we're able to experience God. That's why the scripture says faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. If you want to increase your ability to trust God and have faith in God and all that so that you can have results, because without that you don't have results, then you need to be abiding in the Word of God. This is what God does. Verse 7 says, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And this is why, you know, we have to remember who we are and where we're going. We have a purpose. We are on a mission from God. We're not just wandering around here trying to earn a living, trying to get all the, you know, same old, same old. You know, no. We have a purpose. God is using us. He's molding us. He's teaching us. Yes, we are all getting hit with these crosswinds. We're getting blown around. But as I grow older and stronger, I'm navigating these winds. I know that the enemy comes against me harder and stronger the more I learn about God, the more he's going to try to knock me out of the sky. But I'm learning how to take those hits with the wind. I'm learning how to navigate the challenges and the difficulties of life. I'm not going to give up, and I'm not going to quit. Why? Because I have seen the glory of God. I have seen the manifestations of God. I have seen the faithfulness of God, and I know the truth of God. And God says the righteous may be knocked down 7 times, but they keep getting up. You might get knocked down 7 times. He says you will keep getting up. Why? Because you remember who you are. You remember what God says. You remember the Word of God. It comes back to you. And all of a sudden, you get renewed like the eagle. You get new strength. And you say, yes, I can. And you start looking up. Why? Because if you look down, all you're going to see are all your problems. All you're going to see is everything that's going to discourage you or cause you to doubt what God is doing in your life. So we have to remember of the grace and the kindness of the Lord of the ages to come. The ages to come. God is preparing us for a time that is coming. We are in time. We are being prepared for the promises of God. That Jesus said that where he is, we may be also. I'm preparing a place for you. This is the ages of God. This is what God is working out in our lives. And so he wants to enlarge our perspective. Once you get up, you can see further. Eagles can see. First of all, eagles can soar for 5 miles, right? Remember that? They can soar. They can just stay like this for 5 miles with the wind blowing at them, trying to knock them down. They can soar for 5 miles, and they can see up to 3 miles in the air down to the ground. They can see a squirrel or a rabbit running on the ground from 3 miles up. And this is what God does. He changes our perspective. He enhances our vision. Our vision, our ability to see and hear. So now as we walk with God, we're able to see. We have revelation from God. God is revealing things. He's showing us things. Why? Because God speaks and we hear. And then he gives us the ability to see so that we can have know where we're going. Because if you can't see, how are you going to go? How are you going to know what direction? You can't see in the dark. So God says, I'm giving you eyes to see and ears to hear. Verse 1 of Colossians 3 says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Stop looking down and look up, because you're going to go where you look. And so verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 4 says, for a momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Hallelujah. In other words, this is mild compared to what God is about to do for us. The suffering we endure is mild compared to what God is going to do. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. God is showing us our future. Your future is eternal in God. Eternal life is life that gives life. It keeps perpetuating itself. That's the life. That's the word Zoe in the Greek, right? That the scripture uses when the Bible talks about the life of Christ, or having new life in Christ, or being born of the Spirit, or born of God. It's the idea that you have life that never runs out. As soon as it seems like it's running out, there's a boost, there's more life that comes to it. And God continues to enhance your life. And this is why we're not looking at the things that are seen. Oh yeah, we see them, we recognize them, but our focus is not on those things. Our focus is not on those things. We keep looking to God for God to make a way. And so finally, he sharpens our sight. He changes our perspective. He enables us to see like the eagle 2 or 3 miles down the road from high up in the air, 6,500 feet. And anywhere between 6,500 is their cruising altitude. They can reach heights of 10,000 feet, and some can even soar to 20,000 feet. And so eagles are incredible soaring birds. And the higher you soar, the greater your perspective. The more you will see just how small and trivial things in life really are compared to what God is really able to do, what he is all about. And that enables you to have faith in the word of God. It gives you the ability to trust in God. And so having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember, Mark says in 8:18, I pray that you do have eyes to see and ears to hear. He says in Matthew 13:16, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Oh, so many people, they have eyes, but they can't see. But when you have faith in God, when your trust is in the Lord, when you're following Christ like the disciples were here, then God gives you eyes to see and ears to hear. You're able to recognize what God is doing. Don't go through life with God doing all types of good things for you and not giving him the glory for it, not recognizing that it is God. He says every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes from God. That means if you have anything good going on in your life, it's not by chance. It's because God has distributed to you. He has imparted it to you in your life. And so don't go through life unappreciative of what God has done. Give him the credit. Give him the glory. Honor the Lord. 1 John 4:16 says, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. Oh, I'm telling you, when you recognize how much God loves you and cares for you, how much he is watching over you and making a way for you and providing for you, it changes your life. It changes everything about your decisions and the way you go through life. This is why our relationship with God is so critical and so important. He says in verse 16 of 1 John, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. That's faith in God. That's having faith in God. That's what we were talking about in Hebrews 11:1, right? We have to have faith in God. Romans 8:14 says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Not just people who are religious, not just people going to church, not just people who have gone around, been around Christians so much they know the Christian thing to say, but this is about being led by the Spirit of God. This is the hearing and the understanding, being led by the Spirit of God. I shared this morning real quick. I know, well, we're on a time schedule here, but, you know, and I've heard these stories about people in China. Do you remember? You probably heard these too. And some other countries that where church attendance is not allowed. It's illegal. And a lot of churches are underground. And some of these places are very secretive and undercover. But the way this particular group that I heard about,